You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Over the past year, WPR and Wisconsin Watch have documented the lives of Wisconsinites in this unprecedented time with a series of audio diaries called Outbreak Wisconsin. 1 year into the pandemic, we asked them to listen back to their early diaries and reflect. Bram Sable-Smith has more.
Mariah Clark is an emergency department nurse at UW Health in Madison, where the state's first COVID-19 patient was treated last year.
I'll never forget that first COVID patient. I'd been reading about COVID in the news for a month at that point, but when that first case rolled into the department, I remember having that sensation of, oh, shit. It's here. And wondering how it was going to change everything. It's been a strange year of dualities. There were aspects of COVID that let us really connect back to the fact that we as nurses are there to care for whole people. And not just assemblages of parts that aren't working right at the time. And I think in some ways, you know, the terror of the disease also let us regain a little bit of that odd humanity too. Because we had seen friends or family or coworkers who had gotten ill. We could picture ourselves there. And it felt, a lot of the time, a lot more human.
When Jessica Barrera revisits her thoughts from early in the pandemic, she can't help but recall her anxiety. She spent months waiting for unemployment assistance after she lost her job in Eau Claire.
There were so many unknowns. There was so much that was out of my control. It makes me feel tired almost to hear myself. I think a year ago, most of us were just surviving day to day, emotionally, mentally, physically, financially, just to get through to the next day. And if I could talk to myself a year ago, or if I knew then what I know now, I would let her know that you get used to wearing a mask. It's not so weird after the first little while. And to just keep your faith that things will get better.
Amy Moreland of Madison was laid off from her job as a bartender last March. She was unemployed for nearly a year before deciding to go back to school.
A lot has changed in that year. I like to think about, like, you know, sometimes just imagining being, like, older, like, you know, and talking to, like, grandkids about this time that we survived and how we're, like, kind of living through history right now and telling our grandkids about, you know, the quarantine and all this and it being something that we got through. And I don't know what I hope is different about next year is I hope that I am thriving again. You can truly be excited about everything that's coming and grieve the things that have passed as well. So that's where I'm at right now is I'm really excited for the future, but I do feel a sense of sadness for the things that I've lost as well. And I do grieve the past because it's never going to be exactly the same.
Adija Greer-Smith owns Confectionately Yours, a Milwaukee bakery that had to shut its doors for several months.
It's so hard to believe even now that we're a year into this pandemic and we, you know, our kids are still home and we're living in masks. But, you know, I personally think that we may be this way for a while. 2020 was just catastrophic in so many ways. But for Confectionately Yours, I would say the later part of the year was really good to us. You know, it opened up so many doors of opportunity. You know, one thing that I knew coming into entrepreneurship was that I had to go through a process. Clearly, this was a part of that process. Had I opened my business 10 years ago, I may not have experienced this obstacle. But this process really made me stronger. My hope for just people is that this year would have taught us all to love more and hate less, because life is so very precious.
86-year-old Door County resident Beverly Bleets struggled with isolation throughout the year. Now, she has a new outlook.
Well, on my walk today, I felt satisfaction and the joy of the coming of spring. At the same time, it's hard for me to believe that we'll soon observe the first anniversary of the recognition of the existence of the pandemic. The older I get, the faster the time passes. But the urgency, the threat, the fright of the tragedy that is COVID have been replaced in my life with a more peaceful resolution. A year ago, I grieved that time was being snatched from me, that the loss of the old normal meant the loss of so much that was meaningful in my life. But with the passing of the year, instead, I learned to direct my thinking and to better understand the virtue of the new normal and its restrictions. More than ever, the importance of my family and relationships has taken precedence over the more frenzied activity of a daily calendar. I am content to be who I am and where I am in time. It is with profound gratitude that, so far, I am privileged to enjoy yet another coming of spring.
And to hear more stories like this one, visit WPR.org/outbreakWisconsin. Now to Marquette University, where 39 staff layoffs earlier this year left some faculty disheartened and critical of the administration's move to cut jobs and classes to help address financial challenges. Marquette faculty formed a new chapter of the American Association of University Professors, or AAUP, in November. We spoke with Marquette's provost earlier this month about the cuts. Are you a Marquette student or faculty member? How do you feel about recent cuts to staffing and class offerings this fall? 800-642-1234. Douglas Smith is an assistant professor of practice in Marquette's College of Business Administration. He is president of the Marquette chapter of the AAUP, which represents faculty and shared governance at the university. Doug, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me.
What is the position of your AAUP chapter on these layoffs earlier this year?
Well, we haven't gotten a lot of information about the layoffs. We recognize that with respect to the financial condition of the university, that some adjustments are appropriate. The problem was that none of these adjustments, at least even in general, were discussed with faculty in accordance with shared governance. The idea is that faculty should at least have the opportunity to evaluate and comment on what's happening, because administration doesn't know everything it needs to know about the decisions that are being made. University is a very interrelated and complex institution, and none of that happens. So even in terms of which positions all have gone away, that's still not known to everybody. But we know that some of the positions, for example, in our Office of International Education, have left that office very short-staffed. Now, in the pandemic, that's not going to be a problem in the short term, but in the long term, it certainly is. Faculty could have given important feedback to administration if they had only let us know what they were planning to do.
Do you think the university is moving too quickly to change with not enough buy-in?
Absolutely. Part of the issue is buy-in, and part of the issue is information. The university leadership has made decisions based on projections about what's going to happen in the fall and in future years that aren't fully validated. We can think about The expectation that we're going to have a significant reduction in freshman enrollment in the fall, when the numbers don't seem to suggest that so far. And given the pace of vaccinations coming up and our commitment to return to near normal operations, we believe that things are not going to be as bad as administration seems to want to think they're going to be.
But I mean, looking at the National Student Clearinghouse Research Center, that data that is coming out, undergraduate enrollment continues to drop. This is a shrinking number of people. You know, what do you think of the position that if Marquette doesn't make these budget and staffing adjustments now, it could get much worse off in the future?
Well, we're in this position because administration hasn't been foresighted enough to actually plan for disruptive events. We could have easily, over the last 5 years, accumulated enough of a rainy day fund to help us work through this. Marquette's been here for 140 years. There have been a lot of disruptive events over that time. And so we have to expect and plan for those. Do I expect that we will need to revamp our approach to education in some areas in order to continue to attract students? Absolutely. But let's remember, Marquette is a top 100 university. Last year in U.S. News and World Report, we were ranked number 18 in best undergraduate teaching. And there is no reason that we can't compete effectively for even a reduced pool of students in the future.
Earlier this month, we spoke with the provost, Kimoa Yoon, who joined us to talk about these cuts. And here's what he said when we asked if there would be more cuts.
We have none planned at this time, but, you know, we are a tuition-driven institution. 75% of the monies that we bring in comes through tuition. So in large parts, that's, you know, dependent on the students that are here.
So very much tuition dependent. Do you think there will be more cuts in the future?
Well, at the time the provost said that, he had already set in motion a process by which additional faculty would be not renewed for next fall. And so there has been a significant reduction in course offerings. Some course sections have doubled in size with respect to students. We still don't know what all that looks like yet. We may not know that for a little while, but we do know that many faculty, non-tenure track faculty, have been given notice that either they won't be renewed next year or they'll be renewed at a significantly reduced level of teaching and compensation. So the suggestion, I think, that those 39 announced cuts would relieve financial pressure on Marquette wasn't acknowledging that many other faculty were going to not be here because of decisions made by the leadership, not because of an absolute need to make those changes right now.
So if you reduce the number of classes, if you have hundreds of fewer class offerings, where does that leave the programs?
Well, some of the programs have been will be significantly harmed by that. Programs that maybe were in the process of changing to accommodate the needs of today's student are going to be hamstrung in trying to continue to make those changes. And most of those programs seem to be in the College of Arts and Sciences. I've always thought of that college as the heart of the university. That's where liberal arts occurs. That's where critical thinking is taught in all of the courses that are offered in the College of Arts and Sciences. And that seems to be the place where the budget cuts that have been allocated by university leadership have fallen most hard.
We have attorney Doug Smith with us as we discuss the future at Marquette. Doug is part of Marquette's business faculty, president of its AAUP chapter, which stands for American Association of University Professors. What are your thoughts about how the pandemic is affecting private universities like Marquette? How much about the financial health of a private university should its leadership share with faculty and staff? How do you feel about how Marquette is weathering the economic toll of the pandemic? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Doug Smith here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation about Marquette University's job cuts, financial position, enrollment. From a national perspective, the National Student Clearinghouse Research Center has tracked the pandemic's impact on higher ed enrollment for nearly a year. Its spring data show that undergraduate enrollment continues to tumble and there's no quick turnaround in sight. Are you worried about tough decisions at your alma mater? What is the viability of programs, coursework? What does that mean for its overall mission? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. We have business faculty member Doug Smith, who leads the Marquette AAUP chapter, which represents faculty in shared governance at the university. Doug, there was a leadership meeting yesterday afternoon. Who was at the table for that and what happened?
Well, our provost set up a number of work groups, and this one dealt with future academic programs. It was more of a listening session than providing a lot of detail to faculty about what's going on. But it was one of the more positive meetings that we've had so far. And I think there was a good amount of faculty feedback that will be taken into account. Unfortunately, the view of the provost and administration about how many programs need to be cut or in what dollar amounts are still out there without being addressed. And so we don't really know what direction administration wants to take that issue.
Do you know what next steps look like, where this meeting is headed and where these work groups are headed?
Well, by the end of this academic year, sometime in May, these groups will all be generating their final reports. Unfortunately, with respect to some of the other work groups that have already ended their activities, in many respects, their recommendations were not particularly followed by administration. And so from our perspective in the AAUP chapter, we want to make sure that faculty voice, faculty have spent a lot of time and energy putting their recommendations together. We want to make sure that those are fully vetted. We want to make sure that those are fully considered, and we want to make sure that administration is putting together a coherent plan for us to go forward.
Let's bring in Alan now in Madison with a question. Hi, Alan, go ahead.
Hi, good morning. So you mentioned that Marquette is a largely tuition-funded school, right? And if there's a potential for tuition to decrease in the future, I think it's important to think about how cuts might be balanced across different areas of expenditures. So I know spending on staff and faculty, just like payroll, is one of the major expenses. But there's also lots of capital expenses that are required to attract new students, right? Building new facilities and renovating old ones. So what do you think a good way to balance those kind of competing funding needs is?
Alan, thank you. Yeah, payroll versus capital expenditures. How do you balance that out, Doug?
Well, first of all, we have to look at how much of our budget is being spent on academic programs. And when we compare ourselves to other Jesuit institutions, we are pretty anemic. Now, administration has said that that data is not very helpful and that it's a little bit misleading, but they've not given us yet any sense that our balance of non-academic and academic expenses is appropriate for this institution. So that becomes our first consideration. With respect to capital budgets, those are things that faculty generally don't have a lot of input on. I would say that we are building a new business building here at Marquette. It is completely donor-funded, and that is the right plan for us to go forward. If we have donors who are providing the funds necessary for us to expand our capital facilities, it also provides us with the ability to assign appropriate amounts of our budget in order to maintain the ones that we already have and that we continue to need.
In the pandemic, what has the university received by way of federal COVID relief aid? Do you have insights there?
Well, we know that in the last COVID relief bill, the university received almost $10 million. Now, about a third of that was allocated entirely to student relief. But if the students were spending that, of course, on tuition and room and board, that money ultimately comes back to Marquette. The remaining $6.6 million is for the university to use. We've asked how that money has been allocated. We've not had administration tell us how that money is going to be used.
What is morale like now among your colleagues, among your peers?
Well, I would say that it's low. It's been a tough year. Faculty have worked as hard, if not harder, than they ever have, especially for student engagement. That has been the biggest issue that I've seen and that other faculty I've talked to have seen. We have to spend way more time reaching out to students, getting them to engage, finding out what they need, making adjustments to courses. We, of course, had to change our course modalities almost overnight a year ago in order to make sure that operations continue to run. But the other part of faculty morale is having an understanding that the leadership is committed to mission, and this university has a unique and specific mission of creating transformational students, transformational experiences that create men and women for others. And also they need to have an understanding that there is a future here, that the university has a clear plan for being able to handle disruptive events in the future. That's why the Academic Senate passed a resolution asking administration to begin this process, and Academic Senate is going to be active in trying to get administration to revise our financial planning processes so that when disruptive events occur, we can adjust to them without cutting staff, cutting faculty, ending programs.
Doug, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Doug Smith is an assistant professor of practice in Marquette's College of Business Administration, president of the Marquette chapter of the AAUP, which represents faculty and shared governance at the university. We spoke with Marquette's provost, Kimu Ayun, about the cuts on March 4th. Just ahead is a caller-only edition of The Morning Show. We invite you to share your ideas for future programs, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.